Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today's show is a special show because I don't talk about this enough. It is already almost the middle of September. It is the 12th of September. It's a Tuesday. The world's a little quieter today. A lot of crazy destruction in different places. But keep praying for the people who are suffering at the hands of Mother Nature right now. And, you know, we're always going to be in a better place every day. So just give them love and send them prayers and hope and just the whole renewal in their lives. So it's just something crazy to watch. But today's show, I have to say, talking about angels, for some reason, ever since I saw Christ, this part, it's not that I overlook it, but I forget to talk about it because the things we do in life, the relationships, our jobs, ourselves, all of that, it takes so much of our energy and it takes so much of our time and pressure and stress that's usually where we need the fastest relief. It's like, oh, you know, my partner's doing this or that. Oh, you know, this is happening at work. And, you know, this is happening with my mother-in-law, my sister, my mom, my dad. And it just, you know, we want to take care of those things first. But actually, knowing about angels and the influence they have on our lives kind of helps us cope with all of the other things. I mean, just seeing Christ and knowing that, wow, like, I really did see him. And, oh my gosh, these are the things he told me. And then over time, the things he told me, meaning more and more to me. Because I understood them in the beginning when Christ first started talking to me, because I never thought of Christ as an angel. And he said, well, I'm an angel of love. That's my job. Like, that's his job. So he's doing his job. And that my job was to know this and to do this part of it and to share this information because we just need it at this time. And it was really hard for me to accept in the beginning for another reason other than the fact that I saw him, and that was in the Quran, the Quran, I call it in Arabic, and being born Muslim and seeing Christ in this way, we were told that the Prophet Muhammad would be the last prophet, that there will be no prophet after him till the end of time. So me seeing Christ kind of threw me off as to, well, why did I see him? Who the heck am I to see him? And what do I do with the fact that I saw him? Because the information wasn't just mine. But, you know, short of a loudspeaker and a fast-talking person, I don't know how I was going to make that transition to getting to know people. And, of course, Facebook came and all these things came and, you know, life always provides, not just for me, but for all of us, a way to find each other. And this happened to be a global way of finding each other. So the work of angels is sometimes underestimated because we say, ah, that's just how life works. But when I saw Christ, I didn't just get Christ alone. Before I saw him, there were angels that started coming to me, and I knew that something was going on around me. I didn't call them anything yet. But one night, for me to understand that there are even angels, because when I saw Christ, I never heard the word metaphysical. I knew the word spiritual, and I knew those people who were kind of, I thought, off the beaten path. And I never knew anything about this world, any of the books, any of the people, nothing. There was just nothing there. I was blank. And one night, I was ready to go to sleep. me and my son, and I sleep really early, but it's because I wake up early. So it's about 9, maybe before 9 by 40 minutes. So let's say it was about 20 after 8. And my daughter was at a sleepover, and it was me and my son at the house. And I was already in my pajamas, but at that time, that's when, I don't know if people still do this, I don't do it anymore, but I used to wear flannels and a t-shirt to sleep. And it was also acceptable to kind of go out that way. So what happened to me was I just had this, like, driven part of my head to go to our local bookstore, which closes at 9 at the time, leave my house, and take my son with me to go buy a book. And I thought, well, it could wait till tomorrow, but I was just driven. Something in me just knew I had to go, and I actually went. I took my son with me, and we went, and he was so excited we were going to the bookstore. And I said, you know, Vadik, we can't spend too much money right now because I still have to pay the rent and whatever this month. And he doesn't even know what rent was, but I was just talking out loud for myself. And we get there, and I go to the second floor of the bookstore, and right when I walk, there was a section about angels. And there was a book, there were these two books written by this woman named Barbara Mark. And I just walked right up to those books. I saw them. And I was looking for actually books of people who lived close by or in California so I could go and meet them. And this was all just put in my head literally out of nowhere. One minute I'm thinking of how I'm going to wake up the next day, go to work, get dressed, go where I'm going, and just do what I do. And I found the lady, and she lives in La Jolla, California, which is about 2.5 hours from me, from Pasadena. So I go, and I buy these two books, and I go, oh my gosh, I'm buying two hardcover books, and I have to charge them because I have to pay my rent, blah, 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 and all these crazy little things are just going through my head that always went through my head at that time. And I go down, and I pay for them, and I leave, and I just literally put them, like, in my bedroom and didn't read them for, I don't know, maybe a month or more. Then I knew somebody who had an issue with their kidney, and the second book I had, it was a blue cover. I can't remember even the names of them, but the blue-covered book, I took it and I gave it to that person who was having to do dialysis. It was very painful for them. They had to sit there for a long time, and I said, you know, I bought these two books about angels, and I gave her one. So I never even read the second one. But I kept this, the first one I got, the lighter-colored one, because the title, I guess, related to me more. And I called that woman, and she said, oh, do you want an angel reading? And I said, no, I want to meet you. And she said, oh, well, I do these angel classes on Saturdays. And I said, good enough. So I go, and it was like February 2nd, before I saw Christ on April 11th of the same year of 2002. So it was, let's say, a month and a half before my birthday. And I always knew on my 40th birthday, my life was going to change, but I didn't know what the heck it was. And along the way, I thought it was this, and I thought it was that, and then I'd say, but I'm not 40 yet. And these are just things I knew. It was like they were programmed in me. I just knew them, never questioned them, and here I am at this woman's house. And for those of you who've listened before, you're going to hear this story again, but I went to her house early because I wanted to talk to her. I knew there was something around me I couldn't explain. I knew I couldn't see it. I wanted to see it. I didn't know how to see it. And I did start to read her book before I went, and it talked about the presence of angels. Well, when I started to read about the presence of angels, I started to get really excited inside because it made me feel safe to think that God not only was just God, and the fact that we were down here, we weren't alone, but that we all have our own set of angels around us, and they comfort us, believe it or not, when you're down, and they you know, try to help you, but they can't help you as much as you could utilize them if you don't know they're there, because now you're not talking to them and they are obedient to your free will. So when you don't know what you don't know, you just trust. You just trust you're going to be okay. You find a way to make your life work. Sometimes you feel really, really alone, and other times you feel great. It's just part of life. But knowing that we have this magical component that's bigger than life, that can turn things around for you, can help you think in times when you feel like you're just done, you don't know who else to turn to. I found out we had this group of friends around each of us that can help us. And it's not something anyone can tell you alone, but when you are alone and you do talk to them, you don't feel alone. You feel loved. You feel this feeling like, oh, well, this is just life and this is what I'm doing now. But I have so much more going on inside of me that can connect. And as a result of knowing this and going to this woman's house, we did a class, and she said it's really easy to identify angels, that even we can talk to each other's angels if we try. So there was only like maybe 8 to 9 people in this class, and she had us pair up, and she had to pair up with somebody, so we were an odd number. And the girl next to me asked for permission to talk to my angels. And I had to ask for permission to talk to hers. And then we each had to write what the other person's angels was telling us. So I wrote, I just, whatever first came to mind, I knew it wasn't mine because I knew I wasn't thinking that stuff and I had no reason to know it. So I just wrote down what it was. I can't tell you what it was now. I don't remember. I remember what she wrote to me because it was relevant. But whatever I wrote was actually very relevant for her. So I realized, wow, anyone can do this. This woman is teaching this. So, you know, at the end of it, I stayed. I got there early and to begin with because I wanted to talk to her. And I tried to tell her, you know, I'm feeling these things around me, but I don't know what it is. And she said, you know, you'll find out during the class. And, you know, she just kind of listened to me. But at the end of it, I said, I got exactly what I came here for. I just wanted to know what these feelings were that I have because I don't recognize them. I never had them before. And she said to me that all I know is about angels. That's the only gift I have. I don't know anything else. I don't know any more or any less, but I do know how to connect people to their angels. And she said, and I wrote these books, so you could look her up. Her sister Trudy is still alive and lives in Connecticut and does angel seminars and does angel readings, I guess, on the phone. But they wrote these books, and she said, that's my only gift. They did Good Morning America, and they did all the shows, and they did this, and they did that. And she said to me, but your job is different. She said, I'm in kindergarten, and you have a PhD. And you'll realize that as time goes on when it comes to these things. And she knew it. She just knew. And I had not seen Christ yet, so I left, and I wanted a bigger bang. I wanted someone to tell me even more. But, boy, she opened a huge door to a world I didn't understand because we put such a movie version of what angels are about us or to us that we just couldn't keep up with what that really meant. So as time went on, now that I knew what was going on, the angels named themselves. Like there was a Teddy and a Joe, and you know, these were little young ones, and they would wake me up at night, and they'd go through my legs, and I'd start writing, and you know, and then I'd go back to sleep. I wouldn't be up for long, maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes, and I got used to this, got used to them coming, used to them showing up, used to them talking. I'd start hearing. I wanted to see them. I couldn't see them. I thought, you know, just one more step of proof. And it wasn't that my faith wasn't there, but, you know, we're so curious as people, I just wanted to see them. And I'm not a big frou-frou person. Even till now, I'm not that person. I don't live in a magical, mystical world. I'm very down to earth. You know, for anyone who's met me, you know that. And I'm just not, you know, much of anything. I'm not anybody special. So for me to know this and talk about it, it took me a long time to even be able to put words on it and not feel like I was completely crazy. But I believed, and this became a place of magic and warmth and comfort. And in the beginning, I actually preferred it to my everyday life. I looked forward to being woken up. I looked forward to writing at night. I was so stimulated by this knowledge that was so heavy in love that feeling, I couldn't separate myself from it, and I knew it would never leave me now that I knew. It's like the gift that just keeps on giving. The influence it has on my life and the influence it put on other people's lives as a result of me just telling them that this exists has been literally the most beautiful part of my life. When I get to tell people these stories, it isn't a magic secret, but when you hear the story and you know, oh, well, Nadia's just Nadia. She's not anyone any more special than I am. And this is available to me too. This is available to me too. The fact that she's not special and she got to know this was just her job. And part of her job is to tell me. And now I know this. And now I can know more about this. And now I can do more about this. And now I can feel this. And now I can see this. All I'm doing is giving you the knowledge that it's there, just like that woman gave me, that awareness that it's there. That's how close you are. That's how big your soul is. That's how God doesn't leave anyone behind. I've had the pleasure of meeting my listeners, some of them. And every time I meet somebody, in the deepest part of my heart, I feel excited that you guys get to know that. It's become my life's work to tell it, and I don't think I talk about it enough, and I have to reel myself in and tell these stories, because the magic of God's hand in our lives is not a religious one. It's not a structured one that says, well, you have to eat this way, dress this way, think this way, not dance, eat this, don't eat that. All of that is just part of our free will and our choices while we're here. But what I learned was that God and angels are separate from religion, because even people who don't have religion or don't know about certain religions or don't know any of that still have this. It's just for some reason we've been taught that if we don't follow a religion, we don't get to have this information. And in religions, we don't really talk about this part. This part is the part that's too magical for us to talk about. And we tend to focus on what we can't do over what we can do. And it doesn't mean that's all bad or anything. It's just how we're raised. So this part just gets put in this category of when you have time. But the influence this has on your life is bigger than life. If all we talked about on Sundays when we go to churches, or when we go to gatherings, or when we have the time to see each other, was just about this magical part, that would fuel you. Not just for those moments, but forever. When you know this exists, you are a child of God. You are a child forever. You never become an adult. Your body becomes an adult, but your mind has that magic that believes that anything in this world can be yours. Anything. And that when it isn't, you're just not ready for it. Doesn't mean you're not entitled to it. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you don't deserve it. It doesn't mean you're not worth it. When we start thinking that about ourselves, we feel ourselves feel cut off even from ourselves. And unfortunately, for some of us, it's a very comfortable place to put ourselves down. And they weep around us for taking away from ourselves and not seeing our gifts. But they can't help us if we don't ask. And all we have to say is, give me the strength, feed me with love. I am willing to accept your love. I know you're there. Thank you for being there. They were there with you from the moment you got here and will be with you forever. But we can't see them here because of the energy. We can feel them. Once in a while we'll see them when we are completely in that place where we need them. But it's truly on an as needed and maybe may never happen in our lifetimes. Does that mean you're not special? No. Does that mean you didn't deserve it? No. It just means that your life didn't need it to that level. Having faith, having trust in who you are means that you can see all of you because they are part of who you are. We come, we're a full package deal. We come with a soul. Is there a body part that's called a soul? There is no body part called a soul. Think about that. We have arms, we have legs, we have organs, but there isn't like an appendix that's called a soul, or a heart that's called a soul, or a stomach, or a bladder, or a gallbladder, or whatever it is we have. There is no body part called a soul. Nobody can explain a soul. Nobody can duplicate a soul. And no one can explain angels, and no one can duplicate angels. We're elusive as the angels themselves. Every single one of us is pure. Whatever we have on top of that, whether it's physical ailments, mental ailments, whatever it is part of what we came here to work out. This is our school to work through that. But God sent us with tools, that instinct, that knowing, that push. All of that is not a body part. That's all created by our will. That isn't even anywhere here on earth except within the body, making it work. But that's the proof God gave us. That is the proof God gave us. That you cannot quantify the energy of God. You are that energy of God. The fact that your hands work, your legs work, your ears work, your eyes work, your mouth works, sound comes out of your mouth. How does that all happen? But we're so focused on all this other stuff, we forget how big it is that our bodies work with nothing. No one can duplicate that. You can't even make a toy move without putting a battery in it. Nobody puts a battery in us. We can't go to the hospital and fix a soul. We can fix a body part. We can't fix a soul. They can't even find your soul. A soul is the fuel of God on earth. When people say God's on earth, it exists in the people. If there were no people here and no animals here, there would be no God here. It would be God's creation, but we are that fuel. We are that love. We are that understanding. And we all know, even when we try to convince ourselves it doesn't exist, we all know how powerful we are when we're tuned into ourselves. And we also know that at times we just can't be at that high of a place because we're all over the place and we need to rest. Because we do have a body. And the way things are in our world, we actually have to take care of it as we get older, because when our body gets older, it's been here for a while. So we need to move it more, and we need to do these things because we're pretty sedentary in the way life is now, or could be. But knowing that that exists, knowing that you not only deserve it, you have it, whether you know it exists there or not, understanding that you're not alone. And believe it or not, when I first saw Christ, knowing that I was never alone when I was alone really bothered me. Because now it felt like, oh, wow, I always thought like I had a sense of privacy. But now I wouldn't have it any other way. Christ is like my best friend. Only because I know he's there, but he's also your best friend. And you don't have to be religious to talk to Christ or to love Christ. He's just love. Think of him as just somebody who loves you no matter what you do or have done. Good, bad, or indifferent. Because in the bigger picture, this is our learning tree. This is it. We are lifetime in that place. It takes pressure off in some ways. It lets you realize what's yours and what isn't in life. It gives you a sense of self-acceptance because you're already accepted by the one thing we were taught to fear, and that's the unknown. The levels of anxiety in our world are so high because everyone's focused on what we don't have. When we can maybe choose one thing we don't have and work towards it because we need to thrive. And it's innate in us. We can't help it. But if I were any of you today listening, I would sit and have a little talk with myself. Introduce myself to my angels and say, hey, you know what? I know you've been here. I just didn't really know it. Yeah, I've heard about it. But this is me. Tell them about you. Even though they know everything about you, tell them about you. Tell them who you are so far in your own life. Tell them what you'd like to see in your life. Ask them for their help. Ask them for their love. Tell them you can take as much of it as they can throw at you. Tell them that whatever you're scared of, put it at my door. I'll face it with you. And I know I could because you're here with me and I know that. Tell them you'll just do your best, whatever your best is. Because when you're telling them that, you are telling you that. And when you're telling you that, your heart expands, your soul starts flying around you. Your brain gets direction. And as you learn to talk, you become more specific. You start to define within yourself even closer to what you really want. You start to hear that. Find your beauty, find your wealth, find what you own already. That we're overlooking, that we're leaving that money on the table that belongs to us. You guys only have 10 seconds. I could talk for like 2 more hours. I love you so very much, and I will see you tomorrow at Relationship Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.